Good morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We have been looking at the book of Hebrews. And this book explains the supremacy of Jesus. He is the real deal. As we continue in the book, we see that last week, Roger discussed about Jesus being greater than the priest. And at the ending of chapter 5, there were warnings about feeding on elementary truths. Now, as we go into the scripture, do have this in mind. When we sometimes in a church, there are like three groups of people. There are mature believers, immature believers, and there's unbelievers within a congregation. So the writer, he addressing Jewish Christians, the Hebrews. And the Jews' religious background is Judaism. So my aim today as we go through chapter 6, that you encourage and we continue learning of what the writer has to say to the Hebrews or to the Jews. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, reading from verse 1 to 3. And it says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about the cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that we can look at a book and just see what it has to say, what we can gather from it, and what we can help each other to grow deeper as a church. We pray as we continue in the theme of deeper still, that we are able to just pull out from the scriptures what you want us to learn and how we can apply it to our lives. I pray that those who are listening here will be encouraged as we go through the scriptures. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. So, my first point, forward to maturity. Now, the relationship of Christianity to Judaism was a critical issue in the early church. The Hebrew author clears up confusion by carefully explaining how Christ is superior to angels, Moses, and high priests. You know, chapter 6 begins with the author saying, let us. You know, just before that, he was saying, you need to be mature and you need to, but here he's saying, let us, suggesting that, you know, we're all in this together and we all have to do something together. So he explains that being part of it, that he is not excluding himself, but he is part of, you know, this whole solution. So he's saying, let us move beyond the elementary teachings. Now the phrase used for move beyond is translated as leaving. So when I'm moving beyond someplace, I'm not just keeping within the same area or within the same surroundings, but moving beyond suggests that I'm leaving where I'm at. So when he says move beyond or leaving, it was a paradigm shift for the Jewish believers who was practicing Judaism. In order to become mature, they have to almost forget, or not really forget, but let's say move beyond what they were taught in order to become to maturity. You know, when I think of elementary, I think of elementary school. And little children learning how to add, how to color. And you will be there for a while, but as you grow up, you move beyond that elementary school. And you go on to primary school. And then from there, you learn certain things about primary school, addition, multiplication, division. But then you go to secondary school and you move beyond. So in a similar way, these guys, Paul was saying, move beyond the elementary teachings. So he even lists out from there some different things. But I want us to understand that while these things may be just to these guys, that it can apply to us. So we got to move on or move beyond, but head towards maturity in Christ Jesus. The writer expects growth in Christ. That's intention. And many times when we're talking about growth or going deeper, there is intention with that. We don't just haphazardly expect to grow. I mean, our bodies grow without us thinking. But when we talk about growth inside, we have to have intentions with it. Goals, aims, be specific, set a timeline, something along those lines when we have to move to maturity. So the writer continues, and he started listing out some of the things he was encouraging these guys to move beyond. And it says, repentance from acts that leads to death, faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Now, on a quick pass, you might tell yourself, all right, these are the six principles to have a foundation in Christ. But as we dig deeper, we realize it is more talking about what the Judaism and the Jews, what they were learning, more like in the Old Testament type setting. Not exactly, but that was the things they had before Christ. So before Christ came, they had their own way of learning stuff. And that the repentance from acts that leads to death is more them repenting because they don't want to die. The faith in God, not really faith in Christ, but faith in God. Instruction about cleansing, right? You know, none of these things, the laying on hands, that laying on hands, was more the laying on hands when they had to put on the scapegoat so that the sins can go on the animal. They knew about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. But most of those things are not Christian-type teachings. They were more teachings from Judaism. And he was saying, well, we have to move on from that. That being, let's say, the primary school, and move on to Christ. Christ is the way we're supposed to go. Those things were the simple things that they were learning, but they have to move on to that because now Christ is here. He is superior to the Old Testament. He's superior to the priest, to Moses. His teachings are superior to all those things. Remember, the Hebrew writer is talking to the Jews who just came from Judaism. For us in the present times, we may not have that type of teaching. In fact, there's possibility that there were Jews who became Christians and there were pagans who became Christians. And the pagans who became Christians, well, if you know something goes wrong, the first thing they start learning was Christ. While the Jews who came from Judaism, they had a background of some knowledge of God and instruction about cleansing rites. So they have to kind of have a paradigm shift from that. But all in all, for us today, thank God we have the Christ teachings even now. And the writer, when he's talking about these things, he was more talking to the Jews who came from that background for them to move beyond that. Now, as Christians, we also have some first principles that we also learn. All right, you know, the word study, discipleship, repentance, cross. You know, we have those things as basics. And those are the way how we study. But at a point in time, we have to move beyond those things as well. We have to start getting deep into scriptures. Start asking questions. Start helping each other out. And making sure that we are maturing in Christ Jesus. And as Christians, we have that same charge to move beyond the basics. Now, sometimes it might be hard for us. Well, how do I know when I reach maturity? Well, one reason or one idea is when you start teaching other people is because you already got enough information to teach others. And that's a sure way of showing that, oh, I have become mature in some aspects by teaching others. Not the only way, but that's one way you can show that you have become mature, helping others. Even practicing what you learn is showing another sign. Even people can see, oh, okay, well, I see how you pray. I see how you read the Bible. I see how you go out and share your faith. I see how you put the Bible into practice. And that shows some form of maturity. So as we continue to mature, we have to put it into action, not just in our head, but put it into action and even teach others to show that we are maturing in Christ. So after we look at this, Jesus, he's like a university compared to a primary school. We have to move from primary school to university. Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, let's continue. It says in verse 4, and this is more going to point number 2, the risk of falling away. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted a heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their laws, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Well, what is he talking about here? So in verse 1 to 3, he said, let us. And then in verse 4, he starts saying it's impossible for those. Seems as he's talking about some other type of people as we continue reading the script here. All right. So the Hebrew writer switches pronoun, those. And the writer, the Hebrew, speaks of people with impressive spiritual experiences. You know, there's a big debate of these scriptures as to whether this experience is of salvation or the experience of something short of salvation. And looking at each descriptive word helps see what kind of experiences that is described. We see the person is enlightened, all right, as if a light is shining on someone, or a new light shining on mind and spirit. Tasted, the idea of tasting may mean to test something, but other uses of this would indicate a full real experience, as in how Jesus tasted death. All right, the heavenly gift is probably salvation. Partakers of the Holy Spirit, we have tasted a good word of God, you know, they experience the goodness of God's word, the powers of the age to come. It seems as if what this person or those who experience these things, someone didn't say if they are saved, yes or no. It seems as if there's people who have been around the Christians or around the disciples back then, and they see things happening. So even though, let's say, back in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came on everyone, about 3,000 people were baptized. But it came on everyone. So let's say there was 5,000 people, 3,000 get baptized. But the other 2,000 experienced the same Holy Spirit and they just walked away. And there are many people in the Bible who experienced some form of the Holy Spirit, have been enlightened. They probably hear the scriptures. And this is what the scripture is probably more leaning towards. Those people who almost reach, you know, experience some of God's blessings, but haven't made it all the way. It says for them, repentance is impossible, not salvation. Repentance is impossible. The text is not saying that a believer can lose their salvation. And this is one of the most heated debates over any New Testament passage. And there's a lot more to get into. But the difficulty in this passage is understanding that the writer is talking, again, to people who want to get back to Judaism. And no matter all the religious repentance that they might do, if they don't have Jesus, that repentance is not going to help them. It will be impossible for them. Now for us, and I know sometimes when you read a scripture, again, there's a lot of debate, but we got to ensure that we ourselves are making sure that we are heading towards Jesus all the time. Now, I don't think that we might fall away in the sense of losing salvation. No. But we have to make sure that we are working our salvation with fear and trembling from another passage. And the idea is not that if you fall away, you can never come back to Jesus. I believe the idea is if you turn your back on Jesus, don't expect to find salvation anywhere else, especially in the practice of religion, apart from the fullness of Jesus. If you depart from Jesus, fall away in a sense, it's like there is no hope. So for us today, we have to make sure that we are always on Jesus and encourage others. But there may be some people who might be in church every day, clapping their hands, unbelievers, let's say, and they might do all the Bible studies and somehow experience everything as a church and then accept Jesus and then turn away. It's like for them, it's kind of almost impossible for them to repent. I'm sure you might know many people who probably reached so far and, you know, we gotta continue praying for them. But for us who are reading the Bible and going after Jesus, we really have to watch out. Watch out for ourselves. It continues in verse 9. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. All right? So everything before, he was more talking about repentance, but now he's telling these guys, better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. You or we as Christians, we have to make sure that we are focused on our salvation and making sure that we are doing things to grow. It continues in verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. Why? So that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So the risk, you want to make sure that in order not to fall away or make sure that we don't backslide or get lukewarm, we want to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Faith and patience. So guys, how are you doing in your faith and patience? I mean, patience is something that don't have a time limit. You know, you just have to wait sometimes until something happens good. And sometimes patience is not saying, well, I'll meet you there at 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock. And sometimes you have to be patient with people, be patient with family members, be patient with our prayers, and just having faith. You know, when we look at our salvation, having patience to make sure that we stick things through. So that's the second point. Continuing the third point. And for the third point, I'm just going to jump to verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 6. And the third point being hope, the anchor for the soul. It says in verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Hope, the anchor for the soul. Now, hope is something that we want to believe in. You know, like really hope or believe something would happen good to us. Sometimes bad, depending on who you are. But hope is something that you want to believe in. And here it is, our hope is in Jesus Christ. And just Abraham, God had given a promise to Abraham that his descendants would have the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, I like this expression, the anchor for the soul, you know. When we see a ship, and we see an anchor on the ship, is not being in use. Is when the anchor is not being seen, it is in use. You know, we don't need an anchor for calm seas. In fact, the rougher the weather, the more important your anchor is. We need the anchor to hold the ship and keep it from being wrecked. We need the anchor to stabilize the ship and keep it more comfortable for those on board. We need the anchor to allow the ship to maintain the progress it has made. 1, 2, anchor, don't move. Lift, move forward, anchor again. So we don't want to make sure that we don't drift. All right? So here it is, our hope is like the anchor. When we have hope, it keeps us going. I there was a time I'm hoping that, you know, I pass some exams and in order for me to believe that, I have to make sure I study. But the reason I'm studying is because I'm hoping I will be able to pass. When child was being born, you know, praying that, you know, everything goes well when Abigail will be born, my daughters. So, you know, just hoping that things goes well. And with future things, when we have hope, we kind of try to stick to what we want to believe. So Jesus, he is our hope. And this hope that is being talked about here is what helps us keep us going, to continue to endure, to persevere, to not give up the faith through hardships. You know, we need that anchor for our souls, because no matter how long we've been walking with Jesus, we have a tendency to drift. What can cause that drift? Many things. You know, enticing relationships, the love of money, chasing some ambition. You know, we take our focus from Christ and instead begin to meander our way through other things. Things that promise us satisfaction and joy, but never truly deliver. You know, those are the things that cause us to drift. And when we lose our hope, we drift around like a ship without an anchor. Guys, how are we anchoring our souls to the gospel, to Jesus Christ, to the hope that we have in him? How are we doing in that area? Are we, because we're not seeing each other face to face, giving hugs, handshakes, people not visiting as often, are those things bringing us down during these times? Let our anchor still be on Jesus. And let our hope continue to be on Jesus. And it finishes off here saying that Jesus is the forerunner, entered on our behalf. You know, when they entered into the Holy of Holies, back in the Old Testament, in only certain people could go there, the priest. And he used to tie a rope just in case he died. They could put him on because our second person can't just go in just so. But Jesus went there as our forerunner. And if there's a forerunner, well, there's backrunners, which is us, coming behind Jesus as we follow Jesus to even enter the Holy of Holies. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, which you will read about or hear about in the next chapter. So as we continue with Jesus Christ, who is our hope, we pray that through that, we can become mature in Christ Jesus, stop the risk of falling away or drifting back or backsliding, and be an anchor for our souls in Jesus Christ. I pray that as we continue reading the book of Hebrews, and even as I read this, you know, that it helps me, especially, to really make sure that I am praying, reading my Bible during these times. I may not get it every day, but my focus is on Jesus all the time. He is my hope. And I pray that for you who are listening, who are wondering, well, where can I get that hope? Or how can I pray that you will be encouraged to study the Bible through Zoom, through WhatsApp, or even one-on-one. Vaccinated, not vaccinated, we will work things out and work something out for you. Get to know Jesus Christ. Move from the elementary. Jesus Christ is the university of school. Jesus Christ is superior. Jesus Christ is like the best restaurant you ever been to. Jesus Christ is superior to everything and all things. He is God in the flesh. Thank you. And let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for that we are able to go through these scriptures. Pray that as we continue to learn, that we be mature, that we watch ourselves, fix our eyes on you, and that we have an anchor in you all the time. I thank you for the author and for the book of Hebrews to continue learning. Be with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.